You've spent most of your career in recycling. Did you always know you wanted to do this?
No, you know how I got into it?
Tell us.
It was a boy.
Oh, this is how all good stories start.
Hi, I'm Mia Quinn, host of the Sustainably Speaking podcast. On today's episode, we're going to learn more about the current state of recycling in the U.S. and what nonprofits, businesses, and governments are doing to improve it. We're in Austin, Texas today, and joining me at South by Southwest is Keith Harrison. She's the CEO of the Recycling Partnership, a nonprofit committed to bringing organizations together to increase recycling. Keith, thank you for being here. It's fun to be in Austin with you, and thanks for joining us.
Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's kick this off with a little game. Myth versus fact.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'll read a statement, and you tell me if it's a myth or a fact. Number one, all plastic materials, whether it's a bottle or a bag or plastic film, should go in the same receptacle.
That's a myth. False.
Two, it's okay to put something non-recyclable in a recycling container.
Myth. False.
Three, most recycled materials are lost at the household level.
A good chunk of them. Let's dig into that one.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. And four, plastic packaging is critical in reducing both food and packaging waste.
Yes, it does play a critical role, but I think we should talk today about appropriate applications.
Okay, so those were some interesting myths versus fact. Let's go back to number one. All plastic materials, whether bottle, bag, or plastic film, should go in the same receptacle. Tell us what's right.
Well, I'm going to say first, you need to check where you are. Everything's different in different places, right? We are working to make it more consistent across the country. But if you want to know, can I recycle this where I am, check out RecycleCheck. RecycleCheck.org is an easy place. You pop in your zip code and it tells you what you can recycle there. We've just launched it. We're very excited about it. So if people want to know, can I recycle this in my town? That's a great starting point. Very few places can you put plastic bags in the bin. In most places, they're considered a contaminant. And you know the number one thing that makes good recycling go bad? It's when people put their recyclables in a plastic bag and tie it up. Then it makes it really hard to get them out of the plastic bag. So if you really care about ensuring those recyclables turn into new things, that's what I care about, then make sure you leave them loose in the bin.
Just put them right in the bin.
Absolutely.
Because most people, like you said, should not be putting that plastic film, you know, overwrap bags, dry cleaning bags into their bin. What should they do with it?
Well, this is a changing landscape. So I'm going to ask everyone listening to this who are like, oh, I know I have a lot of that. What do I do with it? I'm going to ask you to stay tuned. So those grocery bags that you get at the store, if you use plastic bags there, generally you can take those back. But as more things are packaged in flexible packaging, so let's think about rigid packaging where you kind of crinkle it, like a soda bottle is rigid, a pizza box is rigid, and then the new plastic film and pouches that are wiggly when you try and squish them up, there's a big trend moving towards those more wiggly plastics. They're light to ship, they're really efficient in protecting the food, but they're not widely recycled yet. But there's a lot of work underway to make sure that more things will be recycled. How will you know when it's time for your town to be able to recycle those? RecycleCheck.
Okay, let's go to number two. It's okay to put something non-recyclable in a recycling container.
You know what we call that?
Tell me.
Wish cycling. And we've all been there, but really, when in doubt, leave it out.
Okay. But still recycle when you're sure.
Yes.
But if you're not sure, it's not helping anyone if you're putting it in the recycling bin.
Right.
All right, let's go back to number three. Most recycled materials are lost at the household level. It's not really a myth or a fact, right?
Yeah. So, okay, here's my pop quiz. How many recycling programs are there in the U.S.?
9,000.
You were so smart. Exactly. There are 9,000 different recycling programs in the U.S., and they all have different platforms for how they engage the public, what they accept, where they sell their stuff. And so if you've ever really studied what you can recycle at your house, and then you travel to your aunt's house, and she's like, no, we can't recycle that here. And you're like, why? Why can't I recycle this here when I can at home? It's 9,000 different recycling programs. So I think it's important to pull back. We know the public wants to recycle. We just finished a big study on this. We know 8 out of 10 folks in this country believe that recycling is critical for protecting the environment. But we also know 60% are really confused. They're not sure what to put into the bin. So when we get to the question of, are recyclables lost in the home? We have to pull that apart a little bit. One, when we measure it on a national landscape, we know a lot of recyclables don't end up in the recycling bin. So we have to ask why. First, many American families still can't recycle at home. So before we can say do your part, they need to be able to do their part.
Why can't they recycle in their own homes?
Great question. So we've made some progress. Recycling Partnership is a nonprofit, and we put our grants on the ground to help communities who can't recycle start and help people who do have access to recycling do more of it. So we really get serious about this first question of can people. So I think it's important to look at who doesn't regularly have the opportunity to recycle. It's harder in rural places because of transportation, but it's also harder in multifamily. So the biggest gap that we see is people who live in multifamily situations are often the ones that have the least access or ability to recycle in the first place.
Is that like apartment buildings?
Apartment buildings, totally. So New York City does a great job of serving their multifamily residents because it's primarily multifamily. But in other cities, like I live in Providence, Rhode Island, the city services single family households, which is usually four units and less. Anything over four units is deemed by local ordinance to be commercial solid waste and recycling. So we get into a completely different game. So before we just jump into, is the public doing their part? We have to ask, can they?
Yeah.
We believe people shouldn't have to pay more to recycle. No. They shouldn't have to work harder to haul it. It needs to be really simple for them.
Also, let's touch on that number four of our myth and facts. Plastic packaging is critical in reducing both food and packaging waste.
So packaging can play a really important role in protecting the food that it's in. I think this kind of pulls back of why are we here, right? Why did I start the partnership? Why do I come to work every day? I'm really concerned about saving natural resources, protecting biodiversity. I'm concerned about climate issues too. What a big contributor to methane and climate, it's food loss. So when we can protect the food that comes to us and it lasts longer and we have less food waste, that's a good thing.
That's a great point. Okay, so thank you for playing. Let's talk about you for a sec. You've spent most of your career in recycling. Did you always know you wanted to do this?
No, you know how I got into it?
Tell us.
It was a boy.
Oh, this is how all good stories start.
Yeah, I was in college and I was a turtle researcher. I was working with the bog turtle in Appalachia and also in Costa Rica tagging sea turtles. And I started dating this guy and he got this job on campus picking up aluminum cans from the dorms, right? And they needed a part-time environmental educator. And I was really set on being a field biologist. I had no intention, but I did need a part-time job. And so I got into the recycling office and it was fun. I drove skid loaders, I did communications, I picked up stuff, occasionally filled in on the back of the trash truck, slinging bags, right? And what I realized is recycling seems so easy and it is so complicated. And so I ended up changing my whole major to be a natural resources and human ecology major because I really was fascinated. So fast forward now 25 years, I married the guy, so it worked out.
Okay, I was wondering, did she get the guy?
I still really like him too. Yeah, so I married the guy and still work in the field and I can see good progress, but we're not done yet.
I love that story. What advice would you offer someone with a similar passion?
Well, after the South By session, I had a bunch of people come up and there was one student and she goes to school here north of Austin. She's an environmental studies major. And she was like, I want to do this. How do I get into it? And I said, gumption. I think the main thing is to try. So if you have a passion to do good work in this world, I think the biggest thing that folks who are passionate about this should do is to try. And I love the, you know, when sometimes you see something and then you start seeing it over and over again.
Yeah.
There's this Nelson Mandela quote, or it's attributed to him. And I've seen it all over the place, including it was written on someone's fence yesterday outside of Austin as I was driving in. And the quote is, I either win or learn. I do not lose. And I love that. So that's my advice to people who want to do something in this space is please, we need you. We need tech brains. We need diversity. We need young people, old people. We need, you know, who's our demographic for recycling or sustainability? It's every single human. So we need to represent every single human here. So come on in.
You recently released a report, The State of Recycling. It showed that only 21% of all recycled materials in the U.S. end up being recycled. What's going on?
Let's sit with that for a second. The U.S. residential recycling rate is 21%.
And that's for everything, right? Like every material.
We measured what's in the household. So that's glass, that's aluminum, that's steel, that's mixed paper, that's cardboard, and that's plastic. And we looked at not everything plastic under the sun. We looked at PET, that's your soda bottles. We looked at high density polyethylene, that's like detergent and milk containers. We looked at polypropylene, those are your yogurt cups. And we also included film and flexibles in that. So the, you know, there's so many more things in pouches, lots of shampoos and things that used to be in, you know, HDPE bottles are now in squeeze tubes. We see this whole shift. And we felt like it was really important to include that in the spectrum of what is or could be recyclable. So that's what we included.
Okay, what do we do about it?
So we break it into three categories. Can people? That's one part. And then are people able to recycle at homes? What we know is 8 out of 10 people in this country believe that recycling really matters. What 60% of them are really confused about what to put in the bin. So we need to get to the heart of what should be in their bin, where they are at that time. But it also matters about public trust. The press loves a good story that says you've been tricked. And there have been some stories lately about recycling not working the way that everyone wants. But if you get a flat tire, you pull your car over and you change the tire, you don't torch the car and start walking. That's what this is about. And then the third piece is old stuff turned into new stuff. So we work with companies. Are you truly designing your product to make it recyclable?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's so many organizations, people, governments passionate about this topic. They all come from very different places and maybe have different ideas about what solutions look like. How do we bring them all together?
That's why I started the partnership. So we're 10 years old this year. When we started, it was just me. Our annual revenue the first year was $880,000. Fast forward to today, we've raised more than $170 million from corporate entities. We leverage that with local dollars for a $400 million impact. Those are grants to communities, to MRFs, that's working on federal policy. We have worked on scaling up change because, you know, your question of how do we bring everyone together is truly to the point that we need everyone at the table. I think what's so cool is having worked in this field now for 25 years, the public is excited. They're also ticked off. Policymakers are asking, what do I do about this? NGOs are taking different stances. Everybody is like digging into their space. And I would encourage people to pause and instead say, you know who we need to help solve this? All of us. This is a bipartisan issue. This is a demographic that crosses every single human. And so we started the partnership with the idea that we wanted to bring public and private partners together.
I have a feeling that you've inspired a lot of people. This was so great. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me in. I appreciate it.
And thank you to our listeners. Thanks for tuning in. If you have more questions, we'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear about what you want to talk about next. I'll see you next time on Sustainably Speaking.